United States submarine base at Key West, Florida. A dispatch that quoted President Truman's press secretary, Charles Ross, as saying that President Truman has no knowledge of any secret project by this government that would give substance to the existence of such object. Ross also said that both the Air Force and the Navy deny that such object.
Hi. Hey, what's up? My name's Noelle, and I just want to be forthcoming real quick. Am I excited about what we're going to be covering today? Sure. Do I have the capacity to care? No, because Arizona is so hot that people are getting treated for third-degree burns when they fall on the ground and touch the pavement with their skin. I went grocery shopping, and I bought four things, okay? Nothing crazy. Food and drink. And it was $38.
Similar experience over here. I went and bought some bananas and some grapes, and it was like $50.
Yep. I can't stand it. I got the email saying that my student loans are going to be due again in October. So frankly, I don't give a fuck. Are the aliens going to be paying my student loans? No? Okay, then go fuck yourself. Are the the UFOs and the UAPs going to bring down the price of groceries so I can fucking feed myself? And I'm not even getting anything crazy. I'm buying the raw ingredients so I can make it myself. And it's still costing me a fucking arm and a leg every time I fucking go. Are they going to be reducing the prices at the grocery store? No? Okay. Then go fuck yourself. We have been basically told that we are like a projection in a fucking alien's nutsack. And I'm like, well, then why can't they fix the inflation? Because I can't fucking stand it.
We got blue balls happening over here. Everything's pent up. Something's got to burst, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because we are all getting fucked.
I know it.
Oh, and I'm Chelsea. I agree with Noelle on everything she said. And also, I think I kicked myself in the shin last night and I have a little bruise. And I've been thinking about it all day because it hurts.
You know, problems we face and the wars and battles we deal with every day.
Yep.
So, sorry for that. I'm suspending my belief of reality for a moment so I can pretend like this is beautiful, amazing, exciting, invigorating, replenishing, and revitalizing news to me. I will say there were definitely points of it that made me giggle, made me smile, made my heart flutter, but did it change the foundation of my life as it should have? No, and that's unfortunate, but I'm going to pretend like it is and does. So without further ado, let's get into the coverage of the congressional hearing on UFOs and UAPs that happened on Wednesday, July 26th. Wednesday, July 26th, 2023. I watched the entire thing, so you didn't have to.
Bless you for that.
Cool. So let's get into the credentials of those testifying. We have Commander David Farver. He is a former Marine, I guess, I think. I think he's former. I don't think he's active because he's kind of old. Peace and love to him. He graduated from the Naval Academy. He was in the Navy, obviously, and flew for 18 years. He got a master's from the University of Houston and worked in the private sector for 18 years in but not limited to defense work. And he actually saw and reported the Tic Tac UAP back in 2004. That was recently declassified, so you are probably very familiar with the imaging from it. It is that black and white image with the UFO, and you can see like the brackets around it. Like it's aerial footage taken from obviously some sort of military plane. Mm-hmm. So that's him. Then we have David Grush. He is a decorated combat officer within the U.S. Air Force during the war in Afghanistan, spent 15 years in the National Geospatial Intellectual Agency, the NGA, and the National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO. From 2019 to 2021, he was the representative of the NRO to the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, aka UAPs, which is what they call them now, but it means UFO, and co-led the UAP analysis at the NGA and its representative to the task force. So he basically like was the guy. He assisted in drafting the National Defense Authorization Act of 2023, which includes provisions for reporting of UFOs, including whistleblower protections and exemptions to non-disclosure orders and agreements, as he is now considered a whistleblower.
Okay.
Then the final person we have is Ryan Graves. He is a former FA-18 Super Hornet pilot who has been with the Navy for 10 years and who reported his sightings of multiple UAPs to the Pentagon and Congress. So Fravor and Graves both have seen UAPs as pilots, and David Grush is basically like the biggest advocate in the entire fucking world for it and has like worked in like the sectors that would deal with it.
Okay.
Cool. So, why are we here? This congressional hearing is specifically about the potential multi-decade cover-ups around UAPs and UFOs. And Congress is asking the whistleblowers, the three above-mentioned men, Fravor, Grush, and Graves, what they know and what they've experienced. It is mentioned off the top from the members of Congress that the Pentagon even put a cap on what can be answered in this hearing, that there was a Pentagon briefing before this public congressional hearing that all of Congress was denied to go to because of, quote, security clearance hoops that they had to jump through that they couldn't accomplish in time. And this is said with a condescending tone as if they were set up for failure, which I think we can all agree. Like, they can't outright say, no, you can't apply for security clearance. You are allowed to know this information as like the governing body, as the overseeing body, which is Congress. So they had to set up impossible tasks to accomplish in a small amount of time. Obviously, like, you know, a tale as old as time.
Yeah, they're going to cut them off at the knees. It was mostly performative, probably the congressional hearing, in my opinion. In terms of disclosure, because if it was a full disclosure, there never would have, like, why would they limit what they could talk about? Like, it's not, you know what
I mean? You think that the congressional hearing in itself is like a dog and pony show?
I don't think what we got from the congressional hearing is anything new that people who are within the conspiracy community or people who are part of like the UFO community didn't already know to be true already.
Yeah.
Therefore, a lot of it was kind of like repetitive. And some of this, like, we've talked about fucking alien gunfights that we 100% believe in, you know? Mm-hmm. So for them to have it just doesn't make sense. If they're going to have a disclosure congressional meeting that is prefaced by a meeting that requires security clearance that nobody has access to, it's almost like you're getting offered a birthday cake without frosting. And it's like, yeah, I'm still getting the cake, but you're not doing the things that make it, that elevate it to full disclosure in this particular scenario.
I mean, maybe I am just buying what they're selling or drinking the Kool-Aid, but I definitely felt real resentment by the representatives in this congressional hearing that were speaking out. And I mention it in this recap. There was a lot of shit talking about our government and our governing bodies. I did not realize how much hate in their heart Congress has for the DOD or the Department of Defense and like the Pentagon. And I had no idea. The shit talking, I could not even capture all because I was too busy transcribing to catch it. I make references to some, but the contention that the congressional representatives had to the higher up governing bodies of defense, and I would say like the overall military industrial complex and the corruption that is encompassed in that was very palpable. Like, it was very real. And maybe because of that, I felt like this was authentic. I felt like the people who spoke to these whistleblowers were being 100% authentic. But I mean, I don't know if that's just me drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think if you watched it and you heard what they were saying and you heard the literal shit talking that they were saying, like, you would feel the same as well. And they were upset that the Pentagon came in and basically did a Men in Black type of situation before this hearing even started, last minute, unbeknownst to them.
Yeah, that I do buy into. Let me go back a little bit. I don't put faith into, like, the Pentagon or, like, the government bodies. I feel like the whistleblowers didn't get an opportunity, perhaps, to disclose as much as they could based on preliminary cutting them off at the knees.
Exactly, 1,000%. And we'll go into that in a second. Cool. So I'm going to summarize the beginning of the hearing, because it was over 2 hours, and the beginning of the hearing is kind of like, it's heating up. I get that they're heating up. I get that they can't, like, go in with the hardball questions. They have to get the room comfortable and kind of break the ice. So I'm basically going to summarize that until we get into the real meat and potatoes. There is brief talk about UAPs and UFOs coming in and out of water and not just as aerial spectacles or phenomenons, which is something we've talked about here extensively. Commander David Favor, who we spoke about before, who's a whistleblower and mentioned before, witnessed and reported the Tic Tac UFO UAP back in 2004. He goes on to speak on how the Tic Tac UFO caused transmitters and radar to shut down, which he will talk about later. Okay. He was questioned on the physics of the craft and answers how it is beyond anything we have today, and the physical capabilities it was maneuvering would cause harm to a human piloting it, aka dangerous G-force, etc. How it, like, went from zero, standing still, essentially, like, hovering, to like the Mach speeds they were traveling at in no time at all. And when he says that it is beyond the physical capabilities and, like, capabilities of what we have today, military wise, he even says, like, even in the next 10 to 20 years, like, that's how beyond it was.
Or from what I understood too, it was like, part when they talk about physical capabilities, it was even just like when you think about fuel and power cells, of being able to come from space, enter the atmosphere, and then go back up into space. We don't have that kind of technology now. It's either you go up and then you're down. That's it. There's no bit bopping back and forth between.
Yeah. It reminded me of, like, you know those rides at, like, Six Flags and shit that are like the rocket, and it just shoots you straight up in the air? Imagine that, but it happened in a blip of a second, and you went from ground level to outer space.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, no propulsion system, and there was no fuel trail. There was nothing that appeared on radar or thermal imaging. It's essentially like time travel would be the only explanation I would have, to be like, they blipped from here and they blipped from there.
Sure.
So at this point, they're mentioning but unable to get into publicly. And this is our first reference to a skiff, which is, I'll define it in a second, but reference to what you basically were hinting at before. As to how the DOD continuously fails audits of the spending budget and DOD Department of Defense, and that probably has to do with hidden allocations of money to the cover-up of UAPs and UFOs. And when I say cover-up, it doesn't mean just, like, hiding. It means also, like, actively participating in and collecting information and stuff like that. And just a historical fact check here, in November of 2022, the DOD failed its fifth consecutive audit, unable to account for 61% of its $3.5 trillion, with a T, in assets. There were also remarks from the representatives on how the DOD can just get away with this, but if you, an average person, make $300 on eBay, the IRS is calling you. This is an exact quote. Like, this is what I'm saying when the contention was palpable from the representatives in this congressional hearing. Like, I mean it. Like, they were talking fucking shit. And then, just to jump back up, what is a skiff? And this skiffs will be the entirety of this congressional hearing. Anytime you think you're going to get something juicy, they mention it has to be spoken in a skiff. And a skiff is a sensitive, compartmented information facility in the U.S. military. national security, national defense, and intelligence parlance. It is an enclosed area within a building that is used to process sensitive compartmented information types of classified information. Basically, if you're given the type of clearance or ranking, you can go into a SCIF, and it is the most like locked down place, because like SCIFs aren't even saying, I'm worried about you telling your husband at night. SCIFs are like, I need you in a fucking lead wall underground, yeah. Like no interference for this information,
like,
to be
no recording equipment. Yep. You don't bring your fucking phone in there. You don't bring any electronics in there. Yeah. It's
I
like
can only imagine you're getting like a fucking cavity search. Like it is, mm-hmm. It's insane. Like when looking into a SCIF, it's because I thought like, oh, this is probably like where they do their vetting for the people. It was almost lackadaisical when speaking to who can like come to the SCIF. The purpose of the SCIF is like you're in like augmented reality, like by the military to make sure like nothing is being fucking recorded or no one can fucking hear. It's crazy. So
okay, anyway. But real talk, that would be super cool if there was like an augmented reality that they could put people in, like a Judge Dredd type scenario where it's like heavily military. By the police, and you're like literally the reality cops, and you're in there. But then one day, like a little kid fucking hacks it on accident, and then it's like Die Hard meets 007 meets Hackers.
Cool. That would be fucking cool. But I mean, that's basically the vibes I got from when they just described this secret government building. So anyway. There's a concern that Graves speaks to, which is brought up by a question from AOC.
Hell yeah.
Which is tight.
And friend of the podcast, for
sure. Friend of the podcast, big time. And that is that the FAA doesn't have a formal process for pilots to report UAPs. And I will say that it is like between Graves and Grush, they are both really passionate about talking to the fact that this is like a stigma, mm-hmm. and that military personnel and pilots, or honestly anyone who sees UAPs or UFOs, is like shunned and fucking just their career is ripped from them if they speak out about it. There's a quote that I'll say later on. And their biggest thing is like, we know that like we're martyrs for this cause, but we hope that like speaking on this and creating a formal process can reduce this stigma of it being reported in the first place.
Yeah, because look at what we've done to people in the past. Like my personal hero is Admiral Byrd, and he got completely buried for being one of the guys who, I mean, you know who Lindbergh is, and that guy fucking sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you get people like Admiral Byrd, who did way more interesting things and didn't fucking probably kill his own baby and definitely wasn't a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah.
Trying to warn us about this landmass, and then the Nordic whites that were all down in Antarctica, and they buried him. His own like reports where he did categorize everything that he saw and he wrote it all down is treated as some sort of like fantasy novel. And on the flippity flip, I had told you, I think, or maybe I was talking to someone else about it, but Carlos Castaneda's book From the Fire Within, he mm-hmm. used mirrors like fucking Constantine to fight demons in South America. This guy was an anthropologist, and he wrote this book about how the shaman wars are occurring, and these shamans fight in water with mirrors to trap demons in them, and he got ripped apart. And then you don't hear about these people, and they potentially have information that could change the world. I wonder how these guys got all the way to Congress without getting taken out, unless they're fucking plants just saying who are playing the game. You know what I mean? Like, how do you – it's scary when you get to the point of seeing what's happened to other whistleblowers in the past. How mm-hmm. have these guys gotten so far without being taken out? Or am I beat?
They briefly mention, like, that things are happening to them, and that is why they specifically wrote out procedures and protections for whistleblowers to get from like Congress, mm-hmm. Because there was like retaliation against them, and they very much see, feel, and know about it, which is why this like is all coming out, because now you can't. Now you can't do that, because like this has been streamed live across the world. You know what I mean? So at least there's like the tiniest bit of, I mean, sure, they could still, you know, get into a horrific car accident and they'll say it's a surprising tragedy. We don't know, but at least now they have done everything they can as far as putting like a global spectacle on themselves so that it would be at least harder to do something to them. That was a subconscious theme throughout all of the remarks that you heard passively through the hearing.
Because they've killed people in the past. They took out Diana in front of the world stage.
That's true. That's true.
And there was never even a slap on the wrist. The only thing that happened was what? The bystander law that, anyway, so that is kind of good to know that there is an atmosphere of it, but I bet it's so hard. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I don't know if you can resonate with this, but I feel like since I've gotten so close to the edge where I've dabbled in flat earth and I'm like, what if it is flat? You know what I mean? Where I'm like,
Be real.
Yeah. I'm like hanging on by a loose thread. I'm like, man, are these guys just psyops in the way fucking birds are? Or are these heroes that we need to protect? You know what I mean? Because now and then someone looks at me straight in the eye and they're like, jet fuel in the right circumstances can melt steel beams. And I'm like, you're fucking a dangerous person.
Yeah. You're like, you know who doesn't want to hear that? Bush. But
and I'm like,
I get you and I feel you.
Okay.
I get you and I feel you. I definitely am leaning to they are heroes who need to be protected because, like I mentioned a little bit before, there's a undercurrent or theme of them, like, at the end of this hearing, two of them, not Commander Favor, but Grush and Graves, basically say, like, we're doing this for the people who are behind us and to come, like, basically saying, like, we know there's nothing that could be done for us to save us, but we will be a martyr for the cause to protect the people who are still in the trenches and the people in the future. Which gave me very much the, like, they're the heroes we need to protect because they're basically saying, like, I know that it's over for me, but in the process of being over for me, I want to at least save another person.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, because I imagine this technology is, you don't want to give a toddler a gun because what happens? Tragedy. And I feel like UFO tech in the wrong hands is like a toddler with a gun and it's, people are dying.
Oh, we'll get there. And so with this, like, Graves talking about needing a formal process for pilots to report UAPs, he says, like, we need kinetics, whatever, aka how the craft is moving, and then we need like a zoomed out approach of what was happening before the sightings and how the UAPs interact with each other, which I think is a super cool mention because we're so focused on how it works and how it moves and propulsion systems and lack thereof that we forget to look at the, I guess, like, guy screaming at the clouds in the sky saying it's chemtrails, like, what was happening before and after? Like, were there any subtleties going on in the environment around us or in the atmosphere? Or, like, were animals reacting in a certain way? Like, what was happening? Was there anything that could have signified an appearance or a phenomenon?
Or what about, like, why is this phenomenon so fucking saturated over the United States and not elsewhere? I think that that's, like, a question that maybe we don't often think about when we think of UFOs.
UAPs.
AOC asks, if you were me, where would you look? And Grush says, I'd be happy to give you that information in a closed environment. I can tell you specifically. So basically saying, like, a skiff. I'll tell you in a skiff.
Go to the ocean. He should have just said that. And then a little laser beam would have, like, focused right on his forehead.
He would have collapsed. Yeah. He would have pulled a Mitch McConnell and just gone fucking
God, is that covered at all in this? McConnell fucking tripping out on his MK Ultra programming and then having to get, like, re-uploaded before he came out and apologized to everyone for having a fucking stroke on the national stage. That was crazy.
It's not covered in this, but you just summarized it completely.
All right, good. All right.
Rep Biggs jumps in after AOC and asks specifics about the, quote, misdirection by official U.S. government with regards to UAPs, end quote.
which was a very fucking ballsy statement. Mm-hmm. And he references last week's NCS White House coordinator, Admiral John Kirby, saying UAPs are having an impact on our training ranges and need to be looked at as legitimate issues. And Biggs brings up an instance that happened around the Phoenix Valley in 1997 called the Phoenix Lights. And this was a series of widely sighted UFOs observed by thousands of people in the skies over the southwestern states of Arizona and Nevada on March 13th, 1997, like I said. Blah, blah, blah. Some witnesses described seeing what appeared to be a huge carpenter's square, which is just like a metal, like, little guy. Shaped UFO.
Very drone-y looking, but not during the time of drones.
Yeah. A carpenter square-shaped UFO containing five spherical lights. There were two distinct events involved in the incident, a triangular formation of lights seen to pass over the state and a series of stationary lights seen in the Phoenix area. So, the explanation given was that it was from military training off the Luke and Barry Goldwater range. Biggs then asks if they know anything different for the explanation of those lights. And I just want to say that, like, Biggs during this segment, like, he literally opens up with a personal experience that he, like, dealt with and lived through. And that he, again, the contention is palpable. When he asks, like, do you know anything different of that? It's basically like, I know, tell me the truth. Like, I know that that's not for real. Tell me what you know.
Gotcha.
And so it felt very for real. Biggs says, if we wanted to find out more about, like, what happened here, where would we go to find the files? And then Grush says, unfortunately, we'll get into a skiff. Like, we'll have to talk about it off the record. Also, sidebar, the name Barry Goldwater, which was the explanation, like, they said it was the military training camp called Barry Goldwater, where this, like, that's what these UFOs were. Barry Goldwater was sticking out to me, like, the name, and I didn't know why. And I found this Washington Post article titled "Long Before QAnon, Ronald Reagan and the GOP Purged John Birch Extremists from the Party." That's the whole title. It's a big title. And from it, I saw this quote. In a hotel suite in Palm Beach, Florida, Buckley and Kirk found themselves giving Goldwater advice about how to respond to the ultra-white right-wing John Birch Society's surge in popularity. The society, founded in 1958, was fiercely anti-communist and fond of crackpot theories. Its founder, candy manufacturer Robert Welch, had accused most of the U.S. government, including former Republican President Dwight D. Eisenhower, of being under secret communist control. But Goldwater had a problem, much like the ones that Republican leaders face today, as many of their voters embrace QAnon conspiracy theories and President Trump's false claims of a stolen election. Goldwater wanted to distance himself from the conspiracy theories, but he feared alienating his base. He said, quote, every other person in Phoenix is a member of the John Birch Society, end quote. Goldwater told Buckley and Kirk, quote, I'm not talking about commie haunted apple pickers or cactus drinkers. I'm talking about the highest caste of men of affairs, end quote.
Man, all highest caste. Who gets higher than a fucking UFO? Because Eisenhower sold us off.
So the synchronicities in this are insane.
That's
so
scary. Yeah. For him to say that too. Like,
right? Scary. Yeah. All this to say, the military base attached to a UFO sighting is named after one of the first political candidates to denounce conspiracy theories, and specifically conspiracy theory by the guy who created Junior Mints, Sugar Daddies, and Sugar Babies. That's who, Robert Welch was.
Insane.
But I just thought that was, like, a crazy synchronicity I couldn't, like, leave out. I was like, first of all, like, John Birch Society was just the name. Like, that was a guy. He was considered, like, the first American casualty of the Cold War. That's why the candy maker, Rob Welch, named the anti-communist
I've heard of John Birch Society before. Yeah.
The anti-communist conspiracy theory political party. That's why he named it that. But his, like, specific just laser focus in on Eisenhower. And obviously we know about Eisenhower and the missing minutes and Eisenhower basically being the first time we can say in conspiracy theory land with actual military documents and government forms that where was he during that time, potentially meeting with Grays, which I just think is so fucking interesting how this is all connected. But
it's also super interesting and unfortunate, and maybe this does exist out here, but like John Birch Society and then Goldwater, like looking them up, seem like a bit more conservative leaning.
Yeah, they are.
I wonder if that would be worth investigating, like more left conspiracy type things. But I don't know. Maybe we just the agenda of the left is often to shoot itself in the foot. So maybe they don't get a chance to do anything else.
Yeah, they're too busy hanging themselves. So, but anyway, back to the UFO hearings. Graves mentions that next steps to improve how we handle UAPs and UFOs would be a service-wide reporting mechanism. And they noted that that is still pending. And I think this is interesting and funny and sad because basically what they're asking for is what is the reason why serial killers went rampant throughout the United States in the 60s and 70s, because there was no system of collecting and sharing data across the cities, counties, police stations. There was nothing. So you could just go to the city over and no one would fucking know, right? And basically, the military has that same problem. There is no system or service of reporting, like a reporting mechanism that everyone can share.
Yeah, they do the same thing with like assaults and rapes within the military. They're not going to, they don't give a shit about boots on the ground. They're not going to give a shit about boots in the air.
Exactly. And he mentions like it would be great for record keeping, obviously, and then helping to remove the stigma around service members reporting UAPs. Again, that's a pretty big theme.
That actually should be a pretty huge theme because like we've joked about it before of like what's the stigma of people who claim UFOs? You're a conspiracy theorist, you're like backwoods crazy. And I'm sure that that can ruin a career in the military, like easy, if you're trying to push too hard about seeing a UFO.
Yeah, it has and it will. So I completely agree with them. And as mentioned above, the UAP task force in 2019, that guide written, Grush actually helped author it, but his feedback on it around specifically classifications is like they're basically insanely overclassifying things and locking it down. And he said, quote, "American people deserve to see the recent takedown footage," end quote. Then Commander Fravor, it's just past my head at this point. He brings up TSSCI classification, which TS/SCI, meaning top secret sensitive compartmented information, which is overclassified or overclassification. And he says that UAP footage is extremely overclassified as TSSCI. Even when it was just shot by a civilian on an iPhone, it gets put into a vault by the DOD and intelligence agencies, never to be seen again. And yeah, which makes me think like the real shit is just gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We get to see, and they joke about it. I didn't put it in here, but they joke about like how like every UFO video we see is like grainy, like shitty grainy quality. And it was basically hinted that like, yeah, because the good shit's locked away.
By design, because those ones, people look at the shitty ones and they're like, that doesn't show anything. And then they're going to categorize that because they're always shitty, that they're not real.
Exactly. It's the purposeful misinformation.
Yeah.
And besides overclassification, not enough reporting, again, is a big message emphasized by Graves throughout the hearing. Quote, "If it's not something that is reported, it's not something that can be fixed." And I completely agree with that. Then we have Congressman Burleson saying, Mr. Grush, "You have said publicly that there has been harmful activity or aggressive activity. Has any of the activity been aggressive or hostile in your reports?" Grush says, "I know of multiple colleagues of mine that have been physically injured." Burleson says, "By UAPs or people within the federal government?" Grush says, "Both."
Okay.
Burlinson, okay. So there has been activity by alien or non-human technologies and or beings that have caused harm to humans. Grush, I can't get into the specifics in an open environment. At least with the activity I have personally witnessed, myself and my wife, it is very disturbing.
Hmm.
So this is as close to the smoking gun as we get to saying, like, violence, harm, death, horrific things have happened to people by both UAPs and by our own government, by speaking out or, like, doing something in regards to UAPs.
People have either died coming into contact with the UAPs or the entities that operate them, and if that hasn't gotten them, then we've definitely gotten them.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. It's a sentence you can definitely read between the lines with.
Sure.
Burlinson, you have said the government has intact spacecraft, that the government has alien bodies or alien species. Have you seen the spacecraft? Grush, I have to be careful to describe what I have seen firsthand in this environment. I could answer that behind closed doors. Again, referencing a skiff. Burlinson, have you seen any of the bodies? Grush, that is something I have not witnessed myself. And I want to say here, when he, these two sentences that he gives in response to the questions, I think he has seen spacecraft. I think he has seen pictures or video of bodies.
Yeah, he's seen stuff that's clearly not the grainy, shitty fabrications mm-hmm. that we see online that have been put together either for fun or fabricated, or he hasn't seen the misdirections that we have been exposed to.
Yeah. And again, I think this is like a read between the lines. He says so much while not saying anything at all. Mm-hmm. By to the, have you seen spacecraft that the government has, giving this like long-winded, like, I have to be careful, you know, and then have you seen bodies? Oh, I haven't witnessed it. Like, he's telling you everything. He's telling everything.
Yeah.
Burlinson then gets into a little thought experiment that is like, we are billions of light years away from any other system. The concept that an alien species travels billions of years and is somehow incompetent enough to not survive Earth or crashes is something I find a little bit far-fetched. You have mentioned there is interdimensional potential. Can you expound on that? And I think Grush handles this like pretty well. He, in summary, he says, no matter your level of sentience, basically, things happen, like planes mm-hmm. crash, cars crash, a small percentage will end on mission failure. And I agree. I think like, just because like an alien entity can bend time and space doesn't mean that they don't like fuck up sometimes. Like, I think that's, or that they have levels of like, there's the superior intelligent aliens and then like the dummies, like who drive the drones and crash every now and then.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, you can't, there's no prediction with technology that makes it perfect. There is, like, no perfect machine.
I don't think anything is perfect. So I think, like, even in a idealized, intelligent design, alien society, there's no such thing as perfect.
Yeah.
Obviously. So. And then he says, in terms of multidimensionality, the frame I'm familiar with is holographic principle. It derives itself from general relativity and quantum mechanics. If you want to imagine a 3D object, such as yourself, casting a shadow onto a 2D surface, that is the holographic principle. You can be quasi-projected from higher dimension of space onto a on top of a lower dimension. This blew my entire fucking mind. This, like, what's actually happening? Who are they? Why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
Holographic principle theory. Burlinson then says, have you seen anything that would prove that this is what's happening? And Grush says, no, only theoretical framework decisions. But I still am like,
I need to chew on that.
I know it. I have read it like 20 times and I'm still trying to dissect it. I wish that they would have done a follow-up with that. Basically, yeah. But obviously he didn't understand it, just like we don't fully understand it right now.
Yeah.
But I think the meat is, imagine a 3D object such as yourself casting a shadow onto a 2D surface. Like, are they saying that, like, we are the 3D Earth and aliens or UAPs or UFOs are,
like, 2D
shadow? Yeah. I don't. We'll never know. And then, like, you can be quasi-projected from a higher dimension of space on top of a lower dimension. So, like, are they just, like, not even really here? Well,
Ghosts? Yeah, is it like ghosts, the way we would imagine ghosts on a separate plane? Or we've talked about like the radio frequencies where like you and I can exist right now knowing that there are other radio frequencies playing other music, but now and then we'll tune in on that exact right channel. And it doesn't mean that everything else ceases to exist because we're on a separate channel. Like multiple things can exist at the same time.
Exactly. That is kind of what I envision this is. It's basically the multiple the multiple frequencies happening at the same time. The multiple dimensions, if you will.
Yeah.
Burleson then brings up Occam's razor, which in philosophy is the problem-solving principle that recommends searching for explanations constructed with the smallest possible set of elements. So basically the Occam's razor, like principle, philosophy, train of thought is disprove it to prove it. So he says along the lines of, these craft have been identified and are not being created by military contractors, correct? And Grush says, recoveries predate advanced military programs. So basically saying, like, everything that we've recovered does not match what we have and what we know of. Burleson then says, there could be a scenario today where aircrafts crashed from one agency and another agency is the one to recover it. And that program the craft came from is unknown to them. So the recovering agency could see it as alien in origin.
Like if a Chinese craft crashed in the United States and it was just a technology we weren't familiar with yet.
Yeah, or even as mentioned above, like there's no talking between our own military sectors.
Oh, like, yeah. Like what if the fucking Marines crash something on Army ground? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And Grush says that is a hypothetical situation that would not describe a historical situation I know of. So basically saying like, you could be right, but everything I've seen does not, that's not the case.
Yeah. And let's going back to Occam's razor, the easiest explanation, the simplest one tends to be the right one. And that doesn't line up with what I know to be true. So it's probably not true according to Grush. Yeah.
Yeah. We then have questions from Matt Gates, who seems upset and frustrated, but in a, again, shared commiseration type of way about an instance where he was called on to a UAP situation a few months ago from Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. He was blocked from certain members of the flight crew, evidence, and radar signature. It wasn't until a later time he was given images and access to some of the flight crew members, specifically one who took the picture. And I just want to like sidebar here. What I gather Gates was trying to infer was that these people had to be briefed on what they could do and say to him first. And then he was like allowed access. But even after that, like certain things were blocked. I was just getting that from his tone and the energy and the way he was phrasing things. It very much felt like he was trying to paint a picture of, I showed up, they restricted me. And then all of a sudden time passed and they unrestricted me. And like nothing changed other than time. So, yeah. Gates says that what he saw when they showed him the images cannot be attached to any human capability, either domestic or foreign, and that he would be privy to that as he has served on the Armed Services Committee for 7 years and served on the DARPA. Good old friend DARPA and Advanced Tech Committee for several years. So he's basically saying, I know of our secrets, and that wasn't even a secret. Like that is beyond our secrets. That is 20 years beyond our secrets. And again, like this is why I think like this is so for real, because the contention and the palpable anger that you felt from some of these representatives, commiserating with the whistleblowers, but and just shitting on like the DOD and stuff.
Yeah.
It felt like specifically with Matt Gates, It almost felt like he was upset that he wasn't given the toys. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I fucking worked on all this goddamn shit, and I was a fucking defense contractor, and da-da-da-da, and I sucked the government's dick in fucking private sector and black ops, and they still wouldn't show me the shit. Like, it felt like that's what he was saying. Like, everyone who had snarky comments when also going over their resume of why you should believe them, it felt like they were disclosing that to be like, I'm fucking mad, and I'm doing this right now, who filmed on national television, global television, because I want the people who are ahead of ahead of ahead of the people in charge to see how fucking mad I am for not being involved.
Like, it wasn't just performative. It seemed like authentic anger that they weren't part of the club.
Yes. And it was authentic anger from ego, very much.
Like, yeah. Matt Gaetz is like an asshole anyway. So I'm glad he was mad about something, but I don't want to agree with him in what we're mad about.
Yeah. So that, and when he spoke with the crew from the incident in Florida, he asked why the video wasn't engaged. And the crew says they were out on a test mission over the Gulf of Mexico, and they are supposed to have clear airspace for test missions. They saw four craft in a clear diamond formation and then see one large floating orb. When they approached this, the radar went down. They called it the FLIR system. FLIR system malfunctioned, and FLIR is ground surveillance radars and thermal imaging. And they manually took the image. It was not automated in collection like you would usually see with military tech and intel.
Okay. They went analog, basically.
Yes, with the
image.
Time. Fravor echoes his concerns with UAPs being able to disable our capabilities, and that the only evidence we get is passively, like in this example, or analog, as Chelsea mentioned. Gaetz then asks Graves if he's seen or heard of this, quote, intelligent formation, end quote, which is just, as he described above, multiple craft in sync with each other, like as a phenomenon, basically. Yeah. Any
synchronized
movie
and coordinated. Yeah,
exactly. In their maneuvering and stuff. And Graves says it reminds him of the gimbal incident. The recording you're breathing into.
Sorry. I'm getting all huffy over here.
The gimbal incident, which in the recordings on their FLIR system showed a single object that rotates, but the pilots who were actually there witnessing it call out seeing multiple objects, but those objects do not appear on our FLIR system or radar system. And Graves then echoes how the pilots are still facing issues reporting what happened on this day. And this was actually terrifying for me, because I feel like I've talked about it on here. Maybe it was just on Patreon, or maybe I didn't talk about it at all. I have a dream that is very vivid, and it is a dream where I am walking across the street to Piperdown, and I am pressing the like cross button, and I'm with a group of people, all strangers, and it's like a beautiful sunny day, and I look up, and it's like kind of cloudy, but like in a cute way, not scary weather, and one of the clouds moves, and you can see a UFO just sitting there, just perfectly in place, stabilized. And I turn to the person next to me, and I go, holy shit, look at that. And I point and look up. And at this point, all the clouds have dispersed, and the entire sky is full of UFOs.
Look at that.
You have chills.
That's fucking scary, dude. Like, I'm so scared of aliens.
Me too. I'm more scared of aliens than anything else in the world. And they're all like different shapes and sizes. I wake up. I was so terrified in the dream that I wake up, but it was so vivid. You know how people have like weird things in dreams? Like, it was my house, but it wasn't my house. No, this was like a fucking premonition. Everything was exactly how it is in real life. Like, everything about the sidewalk, the button, the people, the buildings, like, it was real. It was so... Yeah. When they say that, like, the radar would pick up one thing, but the pilots were actually seeing, like, a mass, multiple crafts, that made me think about this dream, because I was like, that's the tea. We'll think it's one fucking craft, and we'll show up with one fucking, you know, fighter pilot, and then it's a horde, it's an army.
Yeah, it's like, we're fucking bringing a knife to a gunfight against them. I'm surprised that the gimbal incident got brought up and then thus giving more credibility to it, because that was a pretty big deal when it happened, because that ended up being leaked footage of a UFO. And this was another one of those things where, like, the intelligent formation did not match any laws of physics that we understand in a way that we can apply them to our own craft. And this was, like, propulsion, no exhaust, yet it still, like, moved like a fucking fever dream in the sky. And then the Pentagon came out later and authenticated it.
There you go.
And they ended up, you know, giving credence to it that, like, yeah, that was an incident, but they don't ever want to say they hide behind the veil of UAP and UFO. They won't ever say fucking outer space aliens, little green men. And I feel like that's part of the cowardice. Like,
well, they bring it up kind of. You'll see when we get there. So anyway. Gates then adds how these pilots he was talking to say that if you have a UAP experience, the best thing you can do for your career is forget it and not tell anyone. And that any type of reporting, even when talked about, like, with the buds, has a perceived consequence. Gates ends his time by stating that we need an obvious next step and to meet in a skiff, so all of those testifying can be protected, but the committee can get the real information. And he then mentions to, like, the powers that be, we're getting the radar images. You should provide them to the committee, and we will subpoena them if necessary.
So I wonder if you can subpoena something that can only be put out in a skiff.
He mentioned, like, a rule, like, basically, like, I'm going to call out or enlist this rule and regulation.
Okay. So there's something just, like, blowing smoke at this point.
Yeah, there's something.
For once.
I think because they can say that it has to do with the security of the nation, you can call on this safety net rule.
Yeah, so anyway. Like the Freedom of Information Act, but, like, way more.
Yeah, exactly.
Powerful. Okay.
On the mic next is Nancy Mace from South Carolina, who you've probably seen in clips from this hearing because she has one of the biggest grabs. She brings up the Chinese spy balloon that was shot down recently and the Roswell incident, both being concerns about public safety. Like, we should keep them on the same level, which I did think was fun of her. She says, do you believe there is an active disinformation campaign in our government to deny the existence of UAPs? Graves, I don't have an answer to that. Grush, as previously stated publicly, yes. And Fravor, previously in Project Blue Book, yes. Slay King. But I currently do not speak for the U.S. government. And this is the commander, by the way. Fucking ate the house down with that. In answering another of her questions about service members reporting UAPs, Graves mentions an estimated only 5% report. So she's like, 95% of them go unreported. And he goes, yes, and that's, like, taken from my personal experience, like the interviews that he conducted and stuff. Mm-hmm. Favor, answering her questions, says that the Tic Tac UAP moves in ways that defy physics as we know them, as mentioned above, but emphasized here again. It cannot be overstated how it just, it's not even that it's, like, kooky and freaky and fast. It's that physics as we know them does not allow that to be possible.
Yeah, it's the magic bullet with Kennedy. Whenever there's something, like, we understand physics enough to know, like, we may not be able to obtain tricks to physics yet, but we understand enough to know when something isn't following the laws of physics. And you get the magic bullet with Kennedy, and then you get the Tic Tac type UFOs, and then you get even just, like, the massive like pillar UFOs that are around Mars. Like, they're way too big to not get pulled into gravity. Like, that's the type of stuff that we just don't understand.
Yeah, it just, like, doesn't exist in our understanding of the world. Also, sorry for that big gulp if anyone heard it.
Oh, I've been sipping this whole time, so free ASMR.
Yeah, some people, that is like nails on a chalkboard. Mace brings up how most excuse UAPs as classified military experiments by our own government, but asks Fravor, with his experience as a pilot, does our government typically test weapon systems next to multi-million dollar jets without informing our pilots? Which is a slay the boots down question. And he says, nope, we have test ranges for that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, this is one of my favorite interactions because people always say like, oh, it was just, it's a government thing. We were testing out something, you know what I mean? Like it's a secret project. And it's like, yeah, but like we're money hungry demons. And so no one would like test their secret billion-dollar project next to their current billion-dollar project just in case, like, because they still want both of them to run. Like,
yeah. It's
crazy. Mace also asks why Fravor thinks it took 15 years for the Tic Tac to be declassified, and he says it was ignored when it happened and sat in a file, and then she jokes that happens a lot around here.
Just incompetence, then.
Yeah. Mace then asks, do you think that officials in our highest government apparatus have unlawfully held withheld info from Congress and subverting our oversight authority? Grush, I know of certain elected leaders that have more information. I am unsure of what they have shared, but I would not be surprised. Which is tattling on y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Mason says, you say that our government is in possession of non-human spacecraft. Based on your experience and extensive conversations with experts, do you believe our government has made contact with extraterrestrials? Grush, something I can't discuss in a public setting. So mentioning a skiff again.
Mm-hmm.
Mace mentions how she then can't ask when he believes this happened. Mace, if you believe we have crashed craft, as stated earlier, do you believe we have the bodies of the pilots that piloted the craft? And this is where I know everyone knows what I'm talking about here if they've seen the footage. Because Grush says, as I stated publicly in my Newsweekly interviews, biologics came along with some of this craft. Yes. Mace then follows up with, were they human or non-human biologics? Grush, non-human. And that was the assessment of people from that program that I talked to that are still on that program. Mace asks how, and Grush says, a skiff to talk about it. So, you know, because she's like, was it video? Was it, you know, and he's like, we'll talk about it later, girly. Mason says, who in the government, what agencies or sub-agencies or subcontractors should be called into the next hearings? And she mentions, like, programs and funding, like, what's out there. Basically, like, who do we need to talk to next?
Mm-hmm.
Grush says, I can give you a specific cooperative and hostile list of those involved after this hearing.
Oh, he is just spilling it.
He is serving. We now have Langworthy on the mic, and he asks Fravor about the Tic Tac UFO experience on November 14th, 2004, and says, oh, he asks him about it, and then Fravor goes, it was a perfect day for flying off the coast of San Diego. You couldn't imagine it being any better. Like, perfect clear skies. So, like, basically dismissing that it was a anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And he then goes on to say, the Tic Tac was a, like, 40-foot wide Tic Tac-shaped object. And he's like, if you don't know what a Tic Tac is, think propane tank-shaped mm-hmm. object. Langworthy asks about tracking the UAP. Fravor, it was tracked by the USS Princeton, the Nimitz, the E-2, but the radars, VAR control, never picked it up. Another F-18 was able to pick it up on radar, but it jammed when the radar tried to lock in on it, and that plane was then able to switch to a targeting pod, which is where we get that image of it from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Langworthy, did you see any source of propulsion, either witnessed or on the footage, including on thermal scans? Fravor, there is none. No IR plume coming out. Chad, who took the video, went through all the EO, which is the black and white TV, and the IR models, and there's no signs of propulsion. It's just sitting in space. Space. At 20,000 feet.
Hmm.
Langworthy, have you ever seen a propulsion system that creates no thermal exhaust? Fravor, no. Langworthy, can you describe how the aircraft maneuvered? Fravor, abruptly, very determinate. It knew exactly what it was doing. It was aware of our presence. it had acceleration rates that went from zero to matching our speed in no time at all. Langworthy asked if the fastest plane known could be capable of pulling off these maneuvers. Fravor, no, not even close. Langworthy, this object had no wings, just to confirm. Fravor, no wings. They then discuss if they were armed. Fravor said no, they never felt threatened. Langworthy asked if they did feel threatened and were armed, could the U.S. military have shot it down? And Fravor says, confidently, I do not believe so. Based on its performance, it would have just left in a split second.
Yeah. If it can, like, propel itself in space, like,
yeah, it could just blip. Yeah, in and out of space, like, yeah. you couldn't even... And they then joke in obviously what is uncomfortable laughter shared amongst the entire room that this is clearly something that is worrying and needs more investigation because nothing gets this government that is fueled by its military-industrial complex moving other than its inaccuracies or incompetence. Like, we are the biggest military muscle. We are feared on this earth. And we were just told that we would be a laughingstock in the universe when it comes to this thing.
Like, basically, like, no point in even trying to engage.
Exactly. It would be embarrassing. Langworthy asks again if there was any way this could be from another nation, and Fravor echoes, as he did before, no. It defies current material science and the ability to develop that much propulsion. And I know some... Oh, my God. I can't.
Physicists,
thank you.
Uh-huh.
Have done some equations and it goes past anything we have. Obviously. Mm-hmm. Andy Ogles jumps in, who, first of all, I want to mention, as we kind of talked about briefly with Matt Gaetz, the UFO trials are really bringing the people together. he was a January 6er. He is anti-gay marriage. And he has a fucking laundry list of contested info. Because he's lied about damn near everything in his life, and it's all been proven. There's an entire section on his wiki called Child Burial Garden Controversy, where he set up a GoFundMe for his stillborn child and talks about an elaborately detailed tombstone, which was to contain a life-size statue of Jesus watching over the children. Benches for families to sit while surrounded by flowers in this special garden. That's a quote from the GoFundMe. That it was to be a, quote, place for Lincoln's new play friends as they wait in heaven for their families, end quote. The cemetery staff and manager reached out to the family to help out, like, set this up and get it started, but got no answers back. And apparently he just pocketed the $23,575 that he got from the GoFundMe and has refused to answer the local news stations during their investigations and for comments on the matter.
See, Andy, aren't like, oh, I almost made a really off-cuff joke. A lesser person would make a joke, a lesser person, not me, being like, see, can't pregnancies that you end prematurely result in more money in your pocket at the end of the day? At the end of the day, just, I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I didn't fucking say it.
But at the end of the day, you know, the facts are the facts.
At the end of the day, isn't it weird how you can end up with more money in your pocket?
Yeah.
I didn't say it. ChatGPT said it.
I said it, so I'll take it. But
all right.
Anyway, back to aliens. Andy says he's going to stick to questions around defense and ask the three if they believe the UAPs and UFOs could be collecting some sort of reconnaissance, probing our capabilities, and trying to figure out what our vulnerabilities in our current system are.
Not all that they are probing.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone had to say it.
Hey. All of them, you agree unanimously, obviously. But they all answer potentially when asked if the UAPs could cause a grave case when it comes to national security.
Hmm.
Which is like, okay.
That's a little concerning. Yeah, I guess potentially. Can I have a yes or a no? Can I have a hard no on that one, please?
Right, I'm like, give me something.
But I mean, if they're jamming our radar and all of our functionality, like, you know, certain functionality in our airplanes and other equipment used to track up, yeah, I could see how that could potentially be an issue.
Yeah. I think they wanted to say yes, but they couldn't, so they said potentially. Graves and Favor are asked if the UAPs became hostile. Could they have defended themselves? Both say, absolutely not. There's no way. All of them also believe, based on evidence they've seen or witnessed, that the UAPs are interested in our nuclear capabilities.
Yeah.
Which is a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Andy asks if they believe the Department of Energy is involved in UAP data collection and housing, which is...
I didn't expect that one to pop up. Yeah.
I think Andy knows something. I think Andy knows a little something. Uh-huh. Graves says he doesn't know. Grush says he cannot confirm or deny in a public setting. Another skiff is mentioned to discuss this question. And Fravor says he doesn't know. So I think we all know what the fucking answer is there.
Yeah, we're housing this shit. They just built that huge facility for a massive object, like, to hide it. Obviously, like, define housing how you want, but yes, we are keeping this shit. Or even maybe live organisms. Like,
but also the call out of the Department of Energy.
Yeah, that's specific. Very specific. God.
Yeah.
Especially if they've been talking about the Department of Defense this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That just pops up. Interesting, Andrew.
I know it. Now back to Burshit, who is my fave TikTok communist app boomer. He's the one who, if you're on our platforms, our social media platforms, I clipped him saying it's tic-tac, not TikTok, like,
oh my God.
Like the Chinese communist app. Like, my daughter Grandpa called me a boomer. I fucking died. It just revitalized me and rejuvenated me. He also starts off this portion of the segment, because he started in the beginning and now they're coming back to him, by saying, great questions, brother.
Brother!
To Andy, so another hot start. Burchett asks if they know of anyone who's been injured working on UAP reverse engineering. Grush comes back with an immediate yes.
Absolutely. We've talked about it on podcasts. There's been alien firefights where men who weren't supposed to stumble upon aliens working for the government did, and then they opened fire on them. Like, that counts. Also, not understanding how these crafts work when we do get them, like, we're messing with shit that we don't understand. It's like another... What's that show? Noah, what's that show? Oh my God, what's that show?
What show? What do you mean?
The one with the thing and it's a portal.
Bitch. Doctor Who?
No, I know who Doctor Who is. What's the other... What's the other one with, like, the circle? And they go through it to, like, other worlds. It was like a
Rick
movie
and
a TV show. No.
I don't... It's what's, fine.
What's... No, it's not. What...
Oh my God.
Is the Circle Portal movie. I know people are going to be mad at us.
No one knows what you're talking about to even be mad.
I know what I'm talking about. Fucking Stargate. We're both stupid. I'm going to bed.
Oh my God. I had no idea. There was nothing that you could have said that would have got me hinted onto Stargate.
Look up Stargate. There are Stargates on Earth.
Anyway.
Okay.
Different
time, I suppose.
He says yes. Burshit, how are they injured? Was it something like a radioactive type situation we didn't understand, or a Havana syndrome type instance, which again, with the kind of the hard hitters. And just for those, Havana syndrome is a cluster of quote unquote unproven idiopathic symptoms experienced mostly abroad by U.S. government officials and military personnel. The symptoms range in severity from pain and ringing in the ears to cognitive dysfunction, and were first reported in 2016 by the U.S. and Canadian embassy staff in Havana, Cuba. So basically, Havana syndrome is just shitty fucking terrible things happening to you.
It's
as a military person that you have no fucking explanation as to what's happening or where it came from.
The fact that they say it's unproven when it's literally just headaches, dizziness, memory problems, hearing loss, visual issues, and other neurological and cognitive difficulties is such bullshit. It's like the new shell shock.
Yeah, I think they say clusters. I think they say unproven because they're not willing to tell us what that they were doing or what they were experimenting on that caused it.
They absolutely won't, because my sister got weird injections that were supposed oh my God, I'm having a stroke. What do they give you?
Well,
immunizations.
I mean,
immunizations. And she got allergic to the fucking sun.
Who do you think is testing the vaccines other than our fucking military? So
yeah, it's Don't you just sleep put on your Havana arm out. Syndrome.
Yeah. You just put your fucking arm out and get a million shots. So anyway.
And it doesn't only happen. It happens all over the world, by the way. It's not just Cuba.
Yeah. Grush responds, I can't get into specifics, but you could imagine assessing an unknown unknown. There are a lot of potentials you can't prepare for. So I think he's saying all of the above, obviously. Yeah. Obviously. Bershit, do you know of any individuals who are participating in reverse engineering of non-terrestrial craft? Grush, personally, yes. Luna then comes back on to submit the News Nation article with Grush for the record. She also asks why Grush says non-human intelligence rather than extraterrestrial, which is a good question and kind of goes back to what you were saying, like, why won't they call a spade a spade?
Yeah.
And he basically says that it's so complex in understanding in origin that saying non-human intelligence allows for more room for an open mind on what it can be.
Oh, that's because they're fucking of this earth, man. They're not extraterrestrial. They're urban terrestrial. They're fucking ocean terrestrials. You know what I mean?
I think it could be all of it. I think to like fucking shoehorn us into one type is the same mindset that got us into believing. Oh my god, there's war.
The cop. It's the dogs are playing and Puffin's pissed. This also.
Speaking of extraterrestrials,
Oliver's just desperately trying to get him to be quiet.
I just heard him yell. It was so funny.
He's trying to get him to go outside, go potty.
All that to say, like the same. That same thought process that would say, oh, they're terrestrial, they're from the ocean, they're from Earth, is the same like narrow-minded thinking that got us into believing that we are the only intelligent beings in the universe. Like I think that we could have all of it. We can and experienced all of it. We can have grays, we can have reptilians, we can have Nordics, we can have ocean-dwelling terrestrials, we can have AI, robotic, fucking terrestrial, like all of it. We could have the UFO, UAP is the actual being, and then there are also people inside of it. We could have the whole gamut.
It also goes into kind of like what we've discussed before, just the vibes I'm getting from it. Like when we say Bigfoot isn't necessarily what we would categorize as a cryptid, but something more of a extraterrestrial dimensional being.
Yes.
Where it goes back again to the radio station example that we like to give. It's these things are tuning in and out on our like cosmic radio, and we could all be existing on maybe we're the aliens in their world is kind of the vibe I'm getting from it, because multiple realities can all be true on the various planes, like layers of the cake, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. It's just flipping through the channels, and we're just one of the many radio stations. So Luna then brings up government treaties, and Grush comes back swinging. He says, or actually she says, Article 3 of the Nuclear Arms Treaty with Russia identifies UAPs specifically. She asks if there are safety measures in place with other nations, foreign governments, or super PACs to avoid an escalatory situation in the case of a malevolent UAP. Grush says, yes. You are actually referring to a public treaty in the UN registry, the agreement on measures to reduce the outbreak of nuclear war signed in 1971. It's an unclassified treaty publicly available. If you cite the George Washington National Security Archives, you'll find declassified in 2013 specific provisions and the specific red line with the specific codes pursuant to Article 3 and Situation 2, which is in the previously classified NSA archive. That is what I would try to access, because I got a wall of silence from the White House asking for the specific incidents when the message traffic was used. Some scholarship on that would open the doors for more investigation. So basically this is the most like detailed answer he gives us, because, and he explains this later on, but because this is all declassified, he can reference the specific sections and articles and places to cite and where to look, because all of this was included in that mass NSA declassification.
He doesn't obviously have to hide behind a skiff with
exactly
this.
Exactly. Yeah. Luna, you mentioned white collar crimes potentially taking place in regards to a cover up. Grush, I have concerns based off of investigations I conducted with my official duties that have potential violations of the Federal Acquisition Regulations, the FAR. AKA, as mentioned above, where do you think that fucking DOD missing $1 trillion goes?
Mm-hmm.
Raskin asks Grush why he can go into detail on some things and none on others. Grush responds that based on his Defense Office of Prep... Oh my god. I can't.
Pre-publication,
thank you. And security review, or dope, sir. It's determined to be classified. He is only publicly commenting on things that are unclassified, but can answer more in a skiff at the right level. So the greatest example is the one above. He could literally go into perfect and exact and specific detail because those are all on declassified docs. Grush goes on to explain a military pilot seeing a UAP that matches other reports, which is a dark gray or black cube within a clear sphere with no propulsion system or tether to the ground. Hmm. Burchett ends the session by thanking everyone, including people watching all over the world who have kept this case and cause alive despite the ridicule and criticism. And I just want to say, heard, seen, and felt.
Yeah, it's nice to be acknowledged.
Yeah, and that is it. That was the congressional hearing on UFOs and UAPs.
Man, you really did the Lord's work here with taking such diligent notes, because for those of you who don't know, Noelle did this live and in the pit, where she watched the briefing multiple times and took these like notes. So this is like directly from the horse's mouth. Literally, it wasn't like influenced by any publications or like outside media. Like, this is literally what happened.
Yep, this is just fully transcribed and summarized from the live congressional hearings. I did have to go back and rewatch it just to get clarification on certain things. But yeah, this is just fully from that. No influence or bias other than our own.
The wolves inside of me, let's talk about that, because I want to digest what I've heard. The wolf that got too close to the fucking sun on flat Earth is saying is this performative, and what are they hiding? Like, the mention of skiffs, like, what's the point of a hearing like this if all of the juicy bits have to be done behind closed doors? And there were some things that did come out. I think that it wasn't necessarily the fact that we have biological samples of pilots or anything like that. I think it's the tidbits that the congressmen let slip, like Department of Energy and like housing, things like that. I think that stuff was more interesting, and I feel like they're more likely to slip up than the whistleblowers. I am wondering what step two is going to be, because based on everything that they talked about, it sounds like there needs to be more transparency, better reporting methods, and then less stigma attached to reporting. So are we going to see a step two? And if not, is this just yet another distraction from what's going on in the world? Like, is this thrown out so that we stop complaining about how fucking hot it is in Arizona right now?
I think multiple things can be true at the same time. On my third watching of this, what I'm gathering and what I'm getting is the whistleblowers are, I think, for real. I think that they are coming into this with pure of heart. I think that they believe that they are already dead in the water. So what is the problem? What is the matter? It doesn't matter. And that they are doing like righteous justice, and at the very least protecting their fellow servicemen and women. I think that Congress and the representatives who spoke today are being authentic in participating, but not authentic in their reasons for it. I think that they were participating in a way and allowing such like tone and obviously like ego and anger and contention to be a thick theme throughout this. More as like a chest bump or a chest check to the DOD, like the Department of Defense and the Pentagon, to be like, hey, if you don't involve me, look how far I'm willing to go. I think that it was a bluff by the Congress people and reps, but a truthful bluff. The bluff was, look at how much I'm willing to say and let slip publicly. I'm going to get the world stage involved. Mm-hmm. We are going to make a public congressional hearing. And if you don't get me and my constituents involved in the fucking silly banana shit that you guys are doing, I will keep this going. I will keep the cameras rolling. That's why I felt that there was such anger and ego and truthfulness in their participation questions and answers. I just think that between the whistleblowers and the representatives, the reasons why they were there were different, but I think everything was authentic. The things that were said.
That's what I hope. That's like what the surface level of me hopes, but then like the lizard brain is kind of like just going off of past experiences. Like, we've technically had disclosure before and nothing came from it. So I don't want to be burned by this information again, but I do hope that the authentic players behind the scenes and those who came out publicly like are protected. Yeah. If not, maybe take up arms in the race to defend us all from the UFO invasion, even though we can't.
That's the tea, though. There are people who believe that this is happening because how can I say this without sounding like scary and doom and gloom? There are people who believe that this is happening publicly because something terrible is about to happen. And I'm not just talking about the climate or the economy or the housing market. They think that something horrific is about to happen, and that's why we're being told about it now. So we could at least say, "I told you so."
That's also what I've heard, like a doomsday type scenario that is lurking behind the corner, and they need to test the waters on how the public will react to this sort of information.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like a super scary thing to think about, right? Like, because that's the ultimate destruction of everything that we know, and it's not by our own hands. Like, that is very scary. I hope I don't ruminate on that too much. What I like to do.
I definitely lost sleep over it last night for sure.
Yeah. So thanks for fucking ruining my day, because I had
heard
about it and then I forgot about it.
You should also know that as I was laying in bed, I like turned to Ty and I'm like, fell down a really dark and scary alien hole, and it like made me lose some sleep last night, and I think it's gonna really fuck with me tonight. And he goes, "You know what you shouldn't do? Tell me. You should definitely keep that to yourself." He's like, "You should absolutely keep that to yourself." And he said it like that, like all high pitch. And I was just like hysterical laughing, because I definitely was going to. If he hadn't said anything in that 0.1 second, I would have been like, "So," and just trauma dumped on him. But he was like, "And you know what we do with that? We keep it to ourselves."
Here's what I will say. Let's go out on a positive note. Okay. We talked about Occam's razor.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how with Occam's razor, the simplest explanation tends to be what's right. Do we think our government really gives a shit about preparing us for a doomsday scenario when they've literally dropped the ball? They've let terrible things like 9/11 happen. They've let things like fucking Pearl Harbor happen. They've probably let... They've tested terrible chemicals. The
assassination of JFK.
Yeah, the things that they have done to us, I don't think that our government, especially people like Matt Gaetz and like all of these nonsense January Sixers, have our best interests at heart. What I think happened was maybe somebody flew, maybe on the back end, flew too close to the sun, and they wanted to get ahead of the issue so that they let this happen. And they're like, "If you don't let the military report this more, we'll blow it wide open." I think something like that is more likely, where maybe the military has shit that they need to accomplish and they got sick of playing ball with the government. I think that that's more likely, where they're like, "We got to start fucking pumping money into this sort of technology. And if we can't account for these trillions of dollars, then we're going to give you big problems." So it was kind of a way of letting us dip our toe in without pushing us in completely. Doomsday scenario is scary, but I think this has more politics going on in the back end. And this was a not necessarily a ploy, but it was an effort to placate probably the powers that be. What if it's just trying to get more money into the fucking Illuminati? The powers that be, I don't know. But I think if we follow the fucking money, it's always going to be that, especially when it comes to our government. And I don't think having our best interests at heart, especially when you look at some of those panel members that are fucking crazy and they lead back to some of like the most insane conservative PACs that have ever ruined our country, do not have our best interests at heart. They're not going to attempt to prepare us for a doomsday scenario whatsoever. Because if we want to go back to the OG hero, Admiral Byrd, they already have a landmass that has been unreported that they can all fucking go to when shit gets rough and none of us will know how to get there because they've left it off of every fucking map, or they're going to go down with the Nordics in the center of the earth and they're just going to leave us to fucking fry. They're never going to prepare us. They're never going to give a shit.
Well, I mean, I want to agree with you. I want to agree with you. But you want to know what makes me believe that this is some sort of like not military political ploy for money and scamming? Bipartisanship. Bipartisanship. There was bipartisan agreement and collaboration throughout this entire congressional hearing. The fact that you had Matt Gaetz and AOC basically on the same platform, co-signing on each other to have these conversations, nothing is scarier to me than bipartisan collaboration. Because that means they were able to put everything aside to have a conversation, and that is fucking, that is the sign.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Let me chew on this. Let me just do this real quick. Examples. Actually, let's go here. Examples of bipartisan legislation in 2023. Okay, so this is just a super quick Google search. There's infrastructure legislation, criminal justice reform, public health and pandemic response, climate change and environmental policies, veterans affairs, education reforms. All are bipartisan collaboration laws or efforts that have been passed in 2023. So I definitely hear what you're saying. Like, why is this being so publicized when there are other things that actually affect boots on the ground? And I think that's just because they're less sexy.
I mean, I guess we'll find out, huh?
Like, since when am I the one? You know what I mean? We've really reversed roles here.
Because if it was just about money, it would just continue to be about money. It would just keep, if it was just about making political moves and getting certain people in power, it would just continue to be the way it has always been, which is behind the scenes, out of sight, out of mind.
But my hang up here is that the government gives enough of a shit about us to put on this performative display to mentally prepare us for a doomsday event. I don't think they do. I put zero fucking faith into our government ever, because like you said at the top of the hour, you have to fucking pay your student loans back. Mm-hmm. My inhaler is still $400 a month. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, if you want my real tinfoil hat theory, it's because at the end of the day, when we say the powers that be, who do you mean? Because I think that politicians, all ranks, even on the DOD level, are just puppets.
Agreed. I think I wouldn't argue that.
The real people who have power, say, and control are like the billionaire class. Yeah. And I think that's why all of them are building their own private fucking rocket ships to outer space to get the fuck out of here. And so I think that the only reason why politics is playing part in this is because they know when the rocket ships leave Earth, they're not going to be on it. They're going to be stuck down here with us.
Well, let's pick up on that then. If I'm going to be like the non-conspiracy theorist for a minute, that feels weird and I feel like I'm betraying my people. But if it comes down to like I said, I think the juiciest tidbits are what the Congress people let slip out. So let's talk about like when they were saying the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're going to start seeing things that maybe will impact our status quo in terms of energy that could lead to things that they don't want us to fucking fight on, right? What if it's mm-hmm. something like, all right, we're going to go into a global energy scale now, where we're all sharing like one thing, and maybe that pushes us to a one world government, or we see energy reform where it's we only have so much energy for so many people. You know what I mean? I could see something doomsday-ish like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's not necessarily going to come down to aliens. It's going to come down to some sort of status quo reform. And I would bank on energy right now because they fucking brought that up out of what I felt like was out of the blue.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very pointed.
And what better energy? Like right now, probably nuclear energy is probably the cleanest energy we could get our hands on, or solar energy. And it's not fucking cutting it. So what's the next best thing? Coming out with like quote unquote alien technology that's going to really change our perspective on the world. And that may be what they're preparing us for.
Maybe. I guess we have no choice but to find out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's that. That's that, baby. And speaking of finding out, you can fuck around and find out by going to the link tree in all of our bios. We are at Go to Hell Podcast. I am at Noelle Fane. That is at Sith Lord. And in that link tree, you can get a link to our Patreon. $1 gets you in. Fun episode today. I feel like we got a little emotional. I felt emotional at the end.
Yeah. Dude, you almost fucking had me until you said that the government was trying to prepare us. And I was like, hup, that brought me back to reality. I'm like, of course the Earth is a fucking globe. You almost had me.
You say that, but you really need to figure out who's truly in power and who the real puppets are. And then it all starts clicking.
I will say that if people want to, depending on the type of aliens that are fucking coming, if it's the Greys, we might be fucked. If it's the Nordics, you got to flirt, get them to fall in love with you because they are the most like us, or the Venusians. If it's a reptilian, get a fucking heat light, acclimate, become their friends. Hillary Clinton's one, the Queen of England's one, or was one. That's why she killed Diana, because Diana got too close to the sun.
I can tell this is really bothering you because I was in the middle of wrapping up the episode and you could.
I know, I'm so fucking sorry. Wrap up the episode. I'm so sorry. We have new fucking merch. Speaking of synchronicities, we've launched Beware of the Bird Drones, which was talking about CIA psyops to fucking spy on the American people. So,
yes. Go back. Which is based in reality, which is always fun. So, yes, you could also find a link to our merch page. 100% of proceeds are donated from all of the funds collected there. You can also find a link to Kelly Holloran or at Wildwood Owls Etsy. She makes cool shit for us, and she makes cool shit in general, so go check that out. We also have a link to our Discord group, Discord server, I should say. Server, come on, get real. Our Facebook group is also linked in there. I don't know why you'd need it. And honestly, I think our Facebook might be getting deleted anyway because I got a weird notification I can't figure out, but it doesn't matter.
I saw that notification, and then I just untagged us. I think it was a weird ploy. I think it was a phishing attempt.
Well, either way, if Facebook gets deleted, I won't be sad at all. And I don't know why you'd need it, but you could also find a link to listen to us, which is anywhere podcasts are heard. So, I want to go ahead and give a real quick shout out because I felt defeated and invigorated and confused and understood all at the same time when going through this congressional hearing. The fact that my father texted me about it, the fact that people were asking me questions about it, I went back and forth on believing and non-believing. And at the end of the day, the thing that really like got through to me to be like, no, I think this is for real, is that above all, billionaires are the worst. And for that, I will say, I'll put power into the only person who could do something about that. So I'll give a hail Satan.
Oh man.
Hail Satan, take down the billionaires.
I'm going to say it. When shit hits the fan and the doomsday comes around, you got to hail Jesus. Also, hail the whistleblowers, and I really do hope that they have protection, because the only way it seems that any fucking things happen in our government is by calling shit out.
Yeah, I will also give a hail to the whistleblowers. Fravor, Gresh, Graves. Throughout history, my favorite people have been whistleblowers. They are the reason why we have the protections and rights that we do today, especially when it comes to anything to do with workforce and unions. So big shout out to them, and I very much hope that they are protected and we get to see and hear more from them.
That's all.
Yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
Bye.